It's Friday, the 1st of February, 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, women and children from Dublin, Ireland, in podcast all around the world and live on Dublin City FM. This is Ireland's only garden radio show, The Sod Show.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow.
Oh, I bet you wonder how I do.
From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show, Fridays 3 p.m. right here on Dublin City FM.
Yes, and welcome to another wonderful Friday afternoon, 3 p.m, coming to you from Dublin City FM. This is, of course, Ireland's only garden radio show, The Sod Show, brought to you in association with the wonderful, absolutely delightful, genuine, nice, how many other words can I come up with, people of greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. They are, of course, our wonderful show sponsors. If you want to pop across, say hello. They are at PowerGreenIRL on Twitter. And what can I say? This week in the garden, am I supposed to give you the trinkets of advice? In January, start of February, you should go outside, scarify your lawn. Are you joking me? It is one of those where, I was outside this week in the garden, and if I told you that I was sitting on top of Cupresso Cyparis Leylandii, the final part of the name giving it away, Leyland Cypress is what I was sitting on top of, standing, walking on top of on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. What about you? Should you be doing anything in the great outdoors? I'm not too sure. I think it might just be one of those days, hopefully one of the final days of, for sitting in and listening to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so in the following ways. You can head to sodshow.com and there you will find all of the links and show notes for today's show, and you can listen back on all the podcasts. It's got all the iTunes links and Facebook stuff, and you can also get in touch with us via Twitter. We are, of course, at Sodshow on the Twitter sphere. Send us a note, tell us you like the show, and yeah, we'll have a chat that way. Let's get on with it. And as I said there just a minute ago, I was outside. I don't know what it is about the Leyland Cypress trees and what they do to my skin, but it seems to me, and some of you may have or may get this as well, but when they kind of abraze off my knees or off my arms, I tend to get this kind of a red raw goose pimply bump, kind of a rash is the best way to describe it, but it seems to be if I'm in long sleeves and I'm in my shorts, I'll only get it on my legs and not my arms, kind of thing. So it's obviously down to that. And I don't know what happened, maybe it was the twigs and the branches and that were cutting my hands, but when I finished last night, I had a nice big power hose scrub down shave, kind of a, yeah. And then what did I do? I applied aftershave to put on my face, of course. I put it to my hands first, and they sat there stinging for about 5 minutes solid, which was not really the nicest feeling in the world. Dark Alice Mutter on Twitter sent me a note saying that cocoa butter or coconut oil will help and soothe that. And I think the herb garden noted that it was time for her to tackle the brambles soon. At least I won't have to put aftershave on my wounds, she notes. David Corskerton, troublemaker. Yes, he is indeed. Sent a note to the both of us saying he never tried the aftershave either. Yep. But he's trying to leave his brambles alone for as long as he can. Yeah, I understand that, David. You see, David was also in touch midweek when Katrina of wholesome.ie made us a cake for our 100th birthday. But it wasn't just any old cake. No, it wasn't just any old cake that Katrina made. It was the edible soil, dirt and novelty flower pot cake, as she calls it. We have, of course, put the link up on sideshow.com. And Katrina does note that the first was made for the 100th episode of The Sideshow, and the second for somebody very special in my life. Well, her life, that would be. You got to go see this, the pictures of it that Katrina has. It does come with the edible dirt on top. No, it's not real dirt. She will give you the ingredients there. It does come in a flower pot. It's got the worms in the bottom of it working their way down through. And yes, it was actually made in a real, real flower pot. Katrina did tell me that she had sterilized it beforehand. And of course, I ate the whole thing to myself. That's where Corscudden got a little bit funny and a little bit nasty. I say nasty, I jest, but you know, he's the type of fella, I'm sure you'd like to grab him in the headlock and ruffle his hair up a little bit, just so he didn't have that boy's own look for too long. Boy's own, do you hear me? Am I showing my age? Moving straight on. Other news of note, Pat Fitzgerald, no stranger to The Sideshow. Pat Fitzgerald, and I quote, Irish Primrose Cladda wins International Perennial Award. Pat Fitzgerald is based down in Kilkenny, and Fitzgerald's nurseries, he says, exhibited at the International Plant Trade Show, IPM Essen, for the 8th year. The company entered its new introduction, Primula, which is the primrose, Cladda, part of the Kennedy Irish Primrose range in the perennial category. IPM Essen is the world's largest commercial ornamental horticultural show. Primula Cladda was awarded Best New Perennial at this year's show, and the judges noted, as IPM Novelty 2013, this is what it says, as IPM Novelty 2013 in the perennial category, a newly bred Irish variety was awarded the Primula Hybrid Cladda from Fitzgerald's Nursery. The red-leaved, fully winter-hardy primrose, did you get that, winter-hardy, has convinced the jury with its natural appearance. The wild character of the plant, with the honey-yellow flowers, is ideally suited for natural garden designs. And a well done to you, Pat, if you're listening down there. I think that's a nice success story. You know, we hear on the show and we hear on the prime times and the front lines and the Vincent Browns and the Question Times in the UK, if you really want to hear people talking slightly different accents to mine, you know, how bad things can be. And then you get Pat, who, I suppose, what was it that your wife bought you some plants as a wedding gift? Was that how it all started, on a little bit of a borrowed patch of land, and all of a sudden you're winning these international awards? It's a pretty nice story. And I might just see if I can get Pat back on The Sideshow. Actually, it's been a long time since we had a pint, and it's been a longer time since we had a chat. And no, we never mixed the two. This little bit of a news story comes in, funnily enough, from Miss Helen Carroll. Helen, as most of you would know, is one of the lovely presenters of Ireland's very own Ear to the Ground. And Helen noted on Twitter yesterday that B&Q, Homebase and Wix are to remove bug killers blamed for the decline of bees. This was a story that was published in the Telegraph, I think, on Wednesday or so. And the headline reads, pesticides blamed for killing bees have been removed from the shelves of Britain's biggest gardening chains, prompting calls for similar chemicals widely used on farms to be banned completely. Louise Gray, the environment correspondent, notes, neonicotinoids, a family of pesticides, have been linked to bee decline in a series of scientific papers. After studying the evidence, Homebase, B&Q and Wix took the decision to remove two popular bug killers. Campaigners who claim that the pesticides are responsible for the recent collapse in bee numbers welcomed the move, but Lord Peter Melchett, policy director at the Soil Association, questioned why other garden centres are allowed to carry on selling products containing neonicotinoids. He also pointed out that neonicotinoids are used on 3/4 of the oilseed rape crop in Britain, as well as wheat and barley, and so on. It continues. A phenomenal story, we are fully aware. We've had Jane Powers on the show before talking about the decline in the bee population. It is one that is set to rise again. If you don't know how bad it is, I would suggest, yeah, it's kind of a very, very welcome move. There's something that this whole grow your own pandemic has kind of done. I think on one hand, in my opinion anyway, I think it's got a lot of us back to basics that you know, my dad and my dad's dad would have grown up, you might say, as sure as you have breakfast every morning or make a cup of tea at lunchtime, it was there. Everybody grew a bit of something. And then I don't know what happened through the boom years, as we so call them, or the Celtic Tiger, as some people call them. I didn't really see too much of that myself. But we seem to have come all the way back around. And the buzzwords like biodiversity allow us a bit of a license to say, well, I didn't feel like sweeping up them leaves, or I just chucked them into a corner, or I left a pile of logs there because that's where the tree fell down. And when I cut it up, I really didn't fancy borrowing those sticks to the other end of the garden. That's what biodiversity allows you to do. But what it's saying in short is, look, you can't concrete in the whole of the country, tarmac the whole thing, take out all the trees, put in all the buildings, and turn around and go, oh, where was that sound that we liked? Oh yeah, them birds. Ah, yes, yeah. Well, we never liked being stung by those bees anyway out here in suburbia. You need a little bit of jungle life in your life. I think it's interesting that midweek there was a note put out by the wonderful people of Spuds Ireland, and when they were talking last week on the, well, the website is thisisbanter.com, they were doing a grow your own kind of a get together, and up somewhere in between all of this came the Twisted Pepper. It's a venue in Dublin City Centre, but their sister venue, the Bernard Shaw, now has the Raver Cottage Garden. See what they did there on its roof. And this provides the cafes and bars and boat venues with fresh herbs and veg. And they say they've also seen a massive growth in community gardens around the city and the country. And not a lot of us would have seen that, says he, looking at Mr. McGuinness with his plant lying sideways. But you should go to, and I'll put the link up of it, the Raver Cottage Garden. It is absolutely phenomenal. I think they are on the Body Tonic Music pages where you might find those photographs. But again, I'll have all those links up on sodshow.com. I'm going to take a wee little break for a song. And I was looking at kind of stormy weather theme tunes, and I was kind of thinking that maybe we'd play a little bit of Sam and Dave or a little bit of Wilson Pickett or something along those lines. And really, in short, I think I changed my mind part way through. I wanted something a little upbeat, a little bit of oomph in it. And when I was sitting on top of those trees, not so far outside Dublin City Centre's coastline, and getting galed out of it, and I was thinking to myself, why do I put myself through this? Why do I do what I do? Why do people tune in to the Sod Show in January / start of Feb? You know, there are garden television programmes. Carol Klein, how are you? In the UK, you've got the likes of John Stirland doing an absolute sterling show on the BBC radio rooms over in the UK. And in Ireland, there really only is the Sod Show on air at this moment in time to do with horticulture. And for you listening, this one is for you. From the bottom of my big green fluffy leafed scratched from the few thorns that abrased my skin. Everybody knows that this one's for you. Except you. I told the stars above. Everybody knows I adore you. And you, and you, and you, and you. Okay, fair enough. I wasn't that happy, but I was a bit, you know, in the middle, a bit upbeat, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Next week, for those of you who disagree, I'm going to play Ace of Base, I Saw the Sign, and I hope that rings in your head all week long. Luke Donegan, no relation. Are you singing it yet? Are you singing it yet? Back to gardening matters. Yeah, pardon my wry sense of humour. It does have to be done. A nice kind of a story came in midweek. It did indeed. Let me get to this one. And this one comes from Judy the Gardener. She is Judy, J-U-D-I, thegardener.co.uk. Hit her blog and you'll see she has a post saying seed wish list. Well, Judy put out a note on the online sphere saying that for those of you who have been reading her blogs recently, you know that she has been commissioned by the Prospects Project to deliver horticultural workshops to their service users. The Prospects Project? Yeah, well, they're a recovery and reintegration project based at the Welcome Centre in Seven Kings run by the Healthy Living Projects. And they provide accommodation, training and employment and opportunities for local homeless people. A nice bit of the story and where it gets to green and gardening is that Judy says she has spent most of today planning the next series of workshops and she's compiling a seed list, and this is where she's going to ask for your help. She is looking for your seeds. She has a wish list there. We've got the link up on sodshow.com. This one may be more for those who are involved in the Landscape Juice Network. Phil, if you're listening, you might pop this one out to your members, but it's a nice story. Let me see if we can get John Stirland to get you on the radio show. John, what do you think? In other gardening news and back to Ireland, this is something I meant to actually announce or let people know about a long time ago, and that is the Horticulture Ireland LinkedIn group. If you head across to sodshow.com, you'll see the show notes down there. Go click in. The host there is Barry Lupton, good friend, colleague, old neighbour, etc., etc. Barry teaches horticulture, funnily enough, and if you go there, you'll find conversations with the likes of Pat Fitzgerald, Fionnuala Fallons, Jane Power sometimes is there. I know when the Sod Show won award for the Ireland's Best Podcast, that was 2012, I know Barry Fairplaytum did throw it up there. But their conversations as it stands is, you know, I mean, what? Does anyone know what horticultural graduates do? Are there any Hort graduates interested in the production and breeding of plants through propagation, free landscape lectures in Cork. There is a ton of upcoming news, bits and bobs. Go over, take a look, introduce yourself and say hi. And speaking of Jane Powers, I did have a wee little note in from Mary O'Dwyer in Cork. Mary was asking me about mammoth onions. I did do an interview, Mary, with Jane Powers way back, oh God, must be 2.5 years ago, Jane, is it? And here's what she had to say on the subject. What exactly are they, Jane, and what is different about them as versus your average onion from the supermarket, you might say?
Okay, the average onion from the supermarket, or indeed the average onion that you would grow in your garden, would just be sort of a fairly ordinary class of an onion. The mammoth onions or giant onions are onions which are bred in order to achieve sizes greater than onions that you would have in your garden or your supermarket.
How big exactly are you talking when you say, when one says mammoth, because I've obviously never grown them before myself, so how big are we talking here?
Okay, well, if you just grow a mammoth or giant onion in the ordinary way of things, it won't get huge, but if you look after it and mind it and feed it properly and do everything in the way that the experts do and the competition growers, you could have an onion that would be 15 pounds in weight, and 15 pounds is nearly 7 kilos. That's a huge weight. Like 15 pounds is the weight of, say, perhaps 2 newborn babies. You could have one onion weighing that. Competition growers of mammoth onions, these would be the people that if you ever go to your village or town horticultural show, you know, like say in your village hall, these would be the onions that you'd see, you know, lined up on the table, and they'd be beautiful, shiny things, almost as big as a football. And those onions would be grown in a very particular way, to a very particular and rigorous schedule, with proper feeding and proper watering and particular operations carried out at particular times when the light was right or the heat was right or whatever. Traditionally, mammoth onions are sown on the 1st of January, but you don't actually need to sow them on the 1st of January. Any time in the first half of January is fine. You still have huge onions.
The onions themselves, Jane, they're actually okay to eat. These aren't just something for looking at.
Oh, completely, and wonderful to eat. Yeah, these are eaten onions. I will say, though, that sometimes some growers would water their onions hugely just to pump them up. And if you were to cook with one of those onions that, you know, is grown by a real fantastically competitive grower, when you cook it, it does sort of melt down into a lot of water. But no, they taste great. They're fine. Yeah. I mean, it's just a bit of fun to have at this time of the year when there's not, you know, there aren't a huge amount of things that you could be sowing.
And it's a good way to get kids out into the garden. Even, you know, you're only talking a half hour, a bit here and there kind of thing, essentially.
Yeah, it is. It's a good way to get kids out into the garden. And it's kind of a fun, it's like growing a sunflower, you know.
I love it.
Which is a great fun thing to do.
Yeah. And if you want some further details on how to go about doing that, I have put the link up on sodshow.com where you can listen to the full interview with instructions. Oh, this weekend, if you are a little bit nuts, the Hedgerow Society of Ballybohol, it meets the first Sunday of every month. And this week, Anne tells me that the walk will be by Knoxadan and Ward River at the west of Swords. It's the crossroads R108 and L2030. The meet point is at Knoxadan Demesne, Demesne, housing estate entrance. It's opposite Irish Helicopters at 1 p.m. That's actually the back roads of Dublin Airport. It's a great walk to see the Ring Fort, early flowers, and learn about Molesworth of Brackenstown. I know him so very, very well. If we find rushes, some impromptu St. Bridget's crosses and weaving can be done. For more information, call Anne on 086-363-8487. That's 086-363-8487. And that is the Ballybohol Hedgerow Society. Now, we noted them earlier on in the show, but the LandscapeJuiceNetwork.com, that's LandscapeJuiceNetwork.com, run by good friend and also previous guest on the show, Philip Voice, and has an announcement, which is that from early next week, there will be a fresh new look and feel to LJN, as well as the addition of premium membership category. Yeah, handing out more dosh. Do I really want to do that, Phil? Well, yeah, do you know something? Philip is saying that a premium supplier is 80 quid a year, and that's pound sterling, and a premium practitioner, these are the two paid for categories, will be 40 quid a year. So for a landscaper, 40 quid a year, would I pay that? Yeah, I would, because in all honesty, in Ireland, I used to be a member of, let me give you the list of associations I used to be a member of. The ALCI, that's the Association of Landscape Contractors of Ireland. The ELCA, that's the European Landscape Contractors Association. The Board BEA Quality Award Programme. I was a member of the local Chamber of Commerce. And I was also a member of the Institute of Horticulture, which used to award me the letters MI Hort after my name. I no longer allowed to use the letters MI Hort after my name because I don't pay the subscription fee of whatever a couple of quid it is per year. In all honesty, Philip's Landscape Juice Network, is it worthwhile? Yeah, if I was in the UK, and there are a lot of Irish heads on it. It's maybe something we need to bring up with Philip yet again. But I think it's one of those that is kind of beneficial for those who are gardeners, those who are in the trade, those who are supplying people within the trade. I think it's a place where all of those who are serious about it get to meet together. And whether you're doing your own garden or designing your own garden or involved in supplying people who build gardens like myself, you kind of get to ask those questions. And there's no BS, to use the initials for the French word, about it. So 40 quid, would I pay it? Yeah. And that is all we have time for this Friday, February the 1st, 2013, folks. It may well be a little bit glum outside, but the garden calendar waits for no man. Make some plans, make a cup of tea, take out a pen and paper, decide what you would like to do. Get rid of that thing that you were supposed to do last year. Tell him. Listen, he was supposed to do it ages ago. It's been sitting there. The grass is growing up around it. You need a new shed. You should have grown those seeds. They've got cobwebs on them. Dust them down. Brush them down. Put on your man boots and get outside and do man things in the garden. If you don't have man boots, borrow a pair. Yes, and we shall talk to you this time next week. Thank you so much to our wonderful sponsors, greensax.ie. They are at PowerGreenIRL on Twitter. Tell them I said hi. And thank you to you, again, for listening. You complete me. Whatever you do in the great outdoors, slán agus beannacht.
From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show, Fridays 3 p.m. right here on Dublin City FM.